passage that the Jews came to Jesus and they asked him a question. But they didn't ask him a question in a genuine or sincere way. No, they weren't truly focused on if Jesus was really the Christ. They were actually being rude. They were actually being kind of snotty and trying to catch Jesus in a lie, possibly, when they said to him in verse 24, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, then tell us plainly." It was almost like they were blaming Jesus for their doubt. And they were asking him and asking him this question in a rude tone, trying to catch him in a problem. And we see that Jesus told them what they already knew. Jesus told them what they already knew. And as they asked him that question, he said, "I told you." He reminded them of when he told them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Hey, they've seen him do the miracles. They've seen him do great things. And they were just really trying to be rude about it. And he told them that they just didn't believe. He told them, "Ye believe not." He said, "Ye are not of my sheep." He then goes on to explain in the verses the characteristics of his sheep or his followers. We see in verse 27, he explains, he said, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice." You know, the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ are us as his followers, saved Christians. Hey, you know, when we hear his voice, we know it's his voice. We know it's his voice. When Jesus speaks to our hearts, we know when it's Jesus Christ talking to us. Hey, his sheep hear his voice. They can tell when it's his. They can discern it. Hey, you know what? If you're truly one of his sheep, you love hearing his voice. You love hearing the voice of God. And also, you obey it. You can't say that you're one of Christ's sheep if you don't hear his voice. Hey, he'll speak to you. If you're one of his sheep, you'll hear his voice. And not only do we hear his voice, but also he says, "And I know them." And isn't it great that the Lord knows us? Hey, he knows me personally. I'm grateful for that. He knows my name. But also he says, "I know them and they follow me." They follow me. And that's where we're going to draw the message from tonight. It's from that phrase, "They follow me." They tread in his steps. You know, we hear his voice in vain if we do not follow him. We hear his voice in vain if we do not follow him. He said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." I think of the illustration of maybe a father and a son walking in the snow, in the deep snow. And the father's usually leading the way. He's making the footprints. And he can picture it, just the little son kind of behind him. And in each step, matching it perfectly. Trying to get there so he doesn't step in the surrounding snow. He's following in his father's footsteps. Hey, and that's how we're supposed to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Step by step, perfectly, trying our best to line up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we know as a kid we used to play the game following the leader. Following the leader. Someone would be in the front of the line and they'd sing, "I'm following the leader. And people behind him would do exactly what that leader did. Hey, if the leader decided to raise his hands, those following would raise their hands. If the leader decided to jump up and down, hey, those behind him would jump up and down. Following the leader. And that's the title of tonight's message. Following the leader. Hey, doing exactly what he does. Being just like him. Following the leader. I found in God's Word three ways to be like Jesus tonight. Three ways to follow our leader. I believe the first thing is simply this. We need to love like Jesus. We need to love like Jesus loves. Go over to John chapter 13. John 13. Love like Jesus. How can we be like Jesus? Hey, we need to love like Jesus. Love like Jesus. John 13 and verse 34 says this. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." How can we be like Jesus? How can we show Jesus that we are a true follower? He said, by loving like him. Loving people like Jesus loves them. Having a heart like Jesus does. Having that compassion that Jesus has. Loving like Jesus. The Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend." And if there's anybody who showed that love, it was the Lord Jesus Christ laying down his life for us. Hey, we need to love like Jesus loves. You know how Jesus loves? Jesus loves unconditionally. Thank God he loves unconditionally. Because if he loved based on conditions, he wouldn't love me anymore. But praise God, no matter what I do, he still loves me. We spoke about that this morning. Hey, how can we love like Jesus? Love unconditionally. Love unconditionally. I think of Jesus on the cross. And realizing in my mind and in my heart that Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. He did something that no one else could do because He loved me. You know what? I want to love like Jesus loves. Hey, I want to have that same love that He had for those around me, for my family, hey, for my friends. I want to love like Jesus. Hey, you know, Jesus loved the lost. Jesus loved the lost. Hey, it wasn't about what they did, but really it was about who they were. You know, we talk about, you know, we can't hate the sin. We need to hate the sin and love the sinner. Hate the sin and love the sinner. That's what Jesus did. Jesus loved the lost. He loved their soul. He saw them for what they really could be. Hey, we need to love like Jesus. I want to love like Jesus. It says in the Bible many times that Jesus looked out and He saw the multitude and He was moved with compassion. Hey, I want to love like Jesus loves. I want to be able to look out at the city of Jackson and love those souls and have a burden for their souls. I want to love like Jesus loves. Hey, we should have a desire. If we're Christians, if we really call ourselves His sheep, His followers, we should want to love like Jesus. We should want to have that same desire in our heart to love and help others like Jesus did. You want to be like Jesus? Well, love like Jesus. Love like Jesus loves. It says in the Bible that we love Him because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. Love like Jesus. Hey, those in your church, love. Love them like Jesus loves them. Hey, you know what? If I got someone that bugs me, I got to remind myself, Donald, you better love them like Jesus loves them. Hey, that's hard sometimes, but it's the right thing to do. And it's a daily battle for some of us. We need to love like Jesus loves. You want to be a true Christian? You want to be a true follower of God? Start loving like Him. Start loving like Jesus. How else can we? I think not only should we love like Jesus, we need to hear like Jesus does. Having the ears of Christ. I pray every day. I say, Lord, help me. Lord, take my ears. Help them be Your ears, Lord. I want to hear like Jesus. You know what Jesus heard, I believe? Jesus heard the cry of the world. You know what the cry of the world is, simply? Help. I heard a message as a teenager at Cross America Conference where the Clyde Box preached a message, the cry of the world. And it was simply that. Help. The world is crying out. The world is crying out. The city of Jackson is crying out. Those at your job are crying out. They need help. You know, Jesus hears that cry, and do we? Do we hear that cry? People are in need. People need help. I think of the offertory that Miss Vivian Kraft played this morning. And yesterday, she showed me what she was going to play, and I sat there and listened. And I opened the hymn book and looked at the words of the song that she played. She played, "Throw Out the Lifeline." And as she played that song, and I read these words, I began to tear up. It says, "Throw out the lifeline across the dark wave. There is a brother whom someone should save." Somebody's brother. Oh, who then will dare to throw out the lifeline, his peril to share? Throw out the lifeline. Throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline. Throw out the lifeline. Someone is singing today. And the second verse says this. Throw out the lifeline with hand quick and strong. Why do you tarry? Why linger so long? See, he is sinking. Oh, hasten today. And out with the lifeboat. Away, then away. I want to hear like Jesus hears. I want to remember. It's hard sometimes. But I want to have that burden for souls. I don't ever want to lose that. I want to hear. I want to have the ears of Jesus. Hey, I want to hear the cry of the world. Hey, I have unsaved family out there. And although we may get along and have a good time at family get-togethers, I need to constantly, constantly remember that they are in need of a Savior. They are in need of help. And I may be the only way that they'll hear about the salvation of Jesus Christ. And your family that's unsaved and your co-workers that are unsaved, you may be their only hope. You may be their only hope, and you may not want to hear that. But it's the truth. And sometimes I don't want to hear that. But it's the truth. I want to hear like Jesus. You know how else Jesus heard? I believe when someone spoke to Jesus, He truly listened. You know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. There's a difference between hearing and listening. I remember as a kid, my dad maybe would be watching TV or doing something. And I'd say, "Hey, Dad, can I go over so-and-so's house or hang out?" "Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's fine. Oh, great, Dad, thanks. And he didn't even know what I just said. He heard me, but he wasn't truly listening. And I believe that when people, especially we see in the Bible, when people spoke to Jesus Christ, he truly listened. When people told Jesus their problem, he listened. And not only did he listen, but he helped. Hey, I want to hear like Jesus hears. Hey, I want to hear maybe when someone's talking to me about something, or when someone's talking to you and maybe pouring their heart out. Hey, truly listen. Hey, let's not be critical. It's easy sometimes. Someone begins to tell their problems and all I can think about is, oh, so they're at it again. Man, that's not how Jesus hears. That's not how Jesus hears. Hey, Jesus hears with ears of helping, wanting to help somebody. Hey, I want to hear like Jesus hears. Not only that, but I want to listen like Jesus listens. I want to listen for the Holy Spirit. Hey, when that Holy Spirit speaks to my heart, whether it's conviction or leading me to do something, I want to listen. I want to hear it and obey that call. So often, I'll be out soul winning and I'll knock on a door. This just yesterday, we're out soul winning, me and Brother Keith. And we knocked on a door. A new door, and a young man came to the door, and he said, and Keith said, hey, brother, he's an invitation to our church, and we'd love to have you come sometime. He said, well, thank you, but I probably won't come. And he kind of laughed it off. We said, oh, well, we hope you can if you can. We walked away. And this was a friendly man. And as we're walking away, I knew it, the Holy Spirit saying, Donald, that was a friendly guy right there. He probably would have listened to Plan of Salvation. You need to go back and talk to him. We're already halfway down the street. I said, Lord, you know, we're already away from the house, and I began to give excuses and excuses like many of us do. And finally I said, Donald, just shut up and do what he says. It's that simple. And I remember I turned back and I said, Keith, hold on 1 second. We went back to the door and knocked, and I got to give the plan of salvation to Neil. And Neil listened to every word. Neil did not accept Christ, but you know what? I did my part. I had to say, you know what, Neil may not have gotten saved, but I saw him. I watched him as he listened to the Word of God and the plan of salvation. And I saw as his tears, his eyes began to well up with tears, and his lips started to quiver. But he wasn't ready, he said. And I said, brother, I'm not going to push you, but I just want to leave you with this. And I gave him that plan, and he said, thank you. And he was a little different at the end of that conversation. But you know what, I had to listen to the Holy Spirit. Man, it was hard. I remember my first year of college. I had never led someone to Christ outside of church, outside of a junior church program. I had never led someone to the Lord outside of the church house. And I never forget being out Saturday soul winning, and we had finished doing all of our bus calls, and we got in the car and we stopped at the bank somewhere in this plaza, and we walked over and they got a drink at this one place, and I was waiting outside and I saw three young men sitting at a table outside. And I saw them, and the Holy Spirit was saying, Donald, you need to witness to these guys. And this was about 4 years ago. And I said, no, I'm too scared. I had never done that before. I couldn't do that. Hey, I can't do that. I don't have the wisdom or anything like that. I can't do this. And they came back out. My friends did. We walked back to the car, and we got in the car, and I buckled up. And right as he's about to leave the park, I said, brother, wait. I got to do this. Hold on 1 second. I got out of the car. And praise God, I walked over those three young men. I sat down with them. I pulled out a tract. I gave them the plan of salvation. And all three of those young men got saved. Hey, you know what? The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And although I didn't want to, I finally had to get over my pride and say, "The Holy Lord, if you want me to do it, I'll do it." I went and God gave the increase. God gave the increase. Hey, listen for the Holy Spirit. Hey, when He convicts you of something, when He convicts your heart of something that's in your life that maybe shouldn't be, hey, listen to him. I've had to tell myself, hey, Donald, I'm pretty sure that the Holy Spirit's a lot smarter than you. And that's the truth. He, if he's convicting me of something, who am I to say, oh, no, it's all right? Who am I to say that? It's the Almighty God telling me it's wrong, and I'm saying, oh, that's fine. What kind of slap in the face to God is that? Hey, when the Holy Spirit convicts, listen to him. Listen to him. And not only listen, but act on it. Hey, I want to hear like Jesus hears. I want to have the ears of Jesus Christ. So we need to love like Jesus. We need to hear like Jesus. I believe we also need to see like Jesus. We need to have the eyes of Christ. See like Jesus. Jesus saw souls, not just people, not just bodies. He saw souls. Hey, if he saw just bodies or just people, hey, when he looked out at the multitudes, he wouldn't have had compassion. He saw in those people that what no one else could see. He saw their souls. And I want to see like Jesus sees. Hey, I want to see the heart of people, not just their face. I want to see their heart. Hey, I want to see like Jesus. Hey, Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I want to see like Jesus in a way of, when Jesus looked at people, I believe He had vision for them. Hey, He saw His plan for them and what He could use them to do. And when I look at anything, I want to see like Jesus. I want to have vision. I want to have vision. Hey, I want to have vision when I walk into this auditorium on a Monday morning when it's empty and I look around. I see a full auditorium. Hey, I see people sitting up in the balcony. Hey, I turn around, I see a full choir. And I see myself leading, and I see people all around me. That's a vision I have. I want to see like Jesus does. You know what you need to do? You know what we need to do as Christians? We need to get some vision in our lives. Hey, we need to get vision for ministries that we're a part of. If you're part of a children's ministry or a Sunday school class or anything, or even if it's some of the lady programs they have, hey, have some vision for it. Have some goals to set for it. See like Jesus sees. Jesus had vision. Dads and moms, and I'm myself included, get a vision for your family. Get a vision and see what God can do with your family. Have a goal to set. Husbands and wives, hey, get a vision for your marriage and try and get God into something great with it, because He will. Get a vision. See like Jesus sees. You know, when Jesus saw a need, He filled it. When Jesus saw a need, He provided for it. And I want to see like that too. I want to see like Jesus in that way, that when there's a need, I want to fill it. Hey, when Jesus looked out and saw the 5,000 people who were hungry, did He just let them stay hungry? No. He fulfilled that need. He fulfilled that need. And when I see need, I want to fill it. And when you see needs in this church, pastor, give an announcement, hey, we need some helpers for this, or we need some more Sunday school teachers, or we need more people for the choir, or we need more people out on Saturdays. Hey, that's a need. Let's fill the need. When Jesus saw a need, He filled it. So many needs. Hey, when you see a need in one of your coworkers or in a friend or in a family member, hey, do your best to fill it. When Jesus saw something, He filled it. When you see someone hurting and there's a need in their life, do your best to help them. See like Jesus sees. See like Jesus sees. You know, what else Jesus saw? I believe Jesus saw the reality of the situation sometimes. And I believe as Christians, we need to, it's so easy to get kind of complacent sometimes, and this is in my life too. To come to church and sit and sing and pray and then go home and not think much of it. Hey, I've been there. I've done that. But when I come into church on a Sunday morning, I pray, Lord, give me strength for it. But I want to have a vision and realize, you know what? I don't care what day it is. God can do something great in my life today. Hey, God can speak to my heart today, no matter what Sunday it is, no matter if it's a special day or not. Hey, it's God's house. It's God's day. And He can do something in my heart. We can do something in my heart. Hey, I want to, when I look out at the city of Jackson or at the map over there in the usher's closet, and I see that map, I want to see the reality of the situation and realize there's just people dying and going to hell. There are people out there right now dying and going to hell. I remember a preacher giving the illustration as a teenager. And he said, and I'm not sure if this is completely true, but it's probably pretty close. But he said, every second, somebody dies and goes to hell. And he started to snap his fingers. Began to burden my heart. I began to think of my loved ones. My Uncle Stephen, who's unsaved right now. My cousin Devin, who's unsaved right now. My boss from back home, Todd, who's unsaved. I began to think of people in my life that I know that I could have witnessed to, that I maybe missed out the opportunity to witness to them. And they'll die and go to a devil's hell one day. I want to see with the eyes of Christ and see the reality of the situation. and realize that there are people, there are people, there are people that are dying and going to hell. And I have to ask myself, do I truly care? Does that mean something to me? The fact that people die every day and go to hell, does that mean anything to me? Does it mean anything to you? Do we care? Loomis Park Baptist Church, do you care that thousands of people will die this year in this city alone and go to hell? Do we care? Do I care? Do I care? I fail so often. I fail so often. Lord, forgive me. But my burden for souls is not as strong as it should be. It's not as strong as it should be. Man, I think of even going out soul winning on a Saturday, and we go out and knock for maybe an hour on new doors, and no one gets saved. And I think, man, no one got saved today. And I try not to get discouraged because I know the Lord is a reason for everything, but I had to think, man, should my burden for souls be greater? And the answer to that question is yes. It should always be greater. I should always be trying my best to lead others to Christ, to bring others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to give others what I have. Because what I have is awesome, and I love how the Lord my heart. And I should have that same desire to pass it on to others. Do I care? Do you know what? Jesus, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. If you study the definition, the true definition of that word compassion, it literally means a sick feeling in your stomach. When Jesus looked down on the multitudes and saw them, it says He was moved with compassion. His stomach actually began to turn because He saw that need so much. It began to twist His stomach. And He realized that they needed something. And when I look at the city of Jackson or at anybody, at just even walk through the grocery store, Lord, help me to see souls and not just faces. I want to see like Jesus sees. Our burden for souls needs to get greater and greater. It needs to get greater and greater. I want to see like Jesus. Hey, He said, look on the fields, for they're way already to harvest. I promise you this. There are people out there looking for something. There are people out there looking for something with a void in their heart that only the Lord Jesus Christ can fill. And they may never hear it unless we go. They may never hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He can do for them unless we go. God will use you. I promise you that. I want to see like Jesus sees. Some of us may have lost the desire to be like Jesus. Some of us may have lost that desire. There have been times in my life when maybe that desire isn't as strong as it should be. Man, to be a Christian is supposed to be Christ-like. And do I want to be like Christ? Or does that take me out of my comfort zone? You know what, if it does, then I'm going to do my best to get out of that comfort zone, to be like Jesus. I'd rather be like Jesus than be in His comfort zone. I'd rather be like Jesus because that's what He wants than be in that comfort zone. And as Christians, as saved individuals, we should want the same. As a church, we should want to be like Christ. We are the body of Christ. We should want to be like Him. I should want to be like Him. Do we care? Do we want to be like Him? And sometimes, even beyond that, the desire is not even there. But some of us know it and it doesn't even bother us. Some of us know that we're not like Jesus. Know that we're not even trying to be like Jesus. And it doesn't even bug you. It doesn't even bother you. You know what? I pray that if I ever get to that point, that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, convicts my heart. Because I want it to bother me. I want it to bother me. Because I know if I do my best to be like Jesus Christ, that's when He can use me the most. That's when He can use me to do something great. That's when He can use His church, when we have a desire to be like Him. to have desire to do what he wants and to follow in his footsteps and to follow the leader. I want to be like Jesus in Loomis Park Baptist Church. If you don't have that desire, then ask God to give it back to you. Ask God to give it back to you. God will never do anything great with your life or with this church until we start desiring to be like him. Until we start desiring. That's what this altar's for, folks. This is not supposed to be a scary place. This is a place where you can come and say, God, I want to be like you again. Lord, please speak to my heart. Hey, give me that revival again. Revive my heart, Lord, please. I want to be like you. That's what this is for. Being like Jesus. Following the leader. God will bless this church if we desire to be like him. And if we act upon that and do our best to love like Jesus, to hear like Jesus, and to see like Jesus. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Please stand to your feet.